CliffCentral.com.
And I'm very excited to meet our next guest. He seems like a very, very interesting man. He seems to have a completely double life in some ways, because he's got one foot in the real rational world and one foot in the crazy esoteric metaphysical spiritual world. I don't think it's unfair to say that. Let's speak to him and find out exactly what he's all about so that I don't put words in his mouth. Here he is. He is Mark Cook. Hello, Mark.
Morning, Gareth.
Do you like your music?
I do.
The Twilight Zone. It is. I mean, it is fair to say that you live in two worlds, right?
Yes, I would say so.
So how do you reconcile that? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, do you go, uh-oh, today's going to be one of those wacky spiritual days, or do you go, today's going to be completely irrational?
I don't do either, I guess. I just say, hello, I'm alive, I'm breathing, thank you, good morning. And take the day as it comes. There's no pre-eminence or anything else.
Because, I mean, you know, you had a fairly normal life for a long, long time, and then suddenly things started awakening in you.
Yeah, the first 30 years were kind of normal, and then the wheels fell off.
But hang on, how does this happen? I mean, were you freaked out in those next few years after the 30 years had passed, that suddenly there were things about you that you hadn't discovered? Or was it a question of you open your mind and suddenly the stuff comes rushing at you?
I think I opened the door too wide too quickly and tried to do too much too soon. I'm pretty much a black and white guy, and I need to be a little more grey. So it's kind of 100% throw yourself at something, boots and all. And I had a very, very steep accelerated learning curve, and for a fairly short period of time I was probably a candidate for a padded cell and some really good drugs.
Yeah, I mean, normally we'd take someone who behaves the way you do and we put them in a straitjacket and we'd never hear from them again, right?
That's the problem.
Do you think it's a problem?
Well, most of the people who are sensitive enough to tap into other dimensional stuff, if you want to call it that loosely, often get diagnosed and labeled as ADD, ADHD, ODD, OTT, and goodness knows what else, and they get medicated and all sorts of things happen. So they could be dumbed down and then be programmed back into the mainstream society. There's more going on than meets the eye.
A lot of these people are not only hard to control and hard to understand, but they also don't fit the mold. And that doesn't help when you're trying to control people.
Yes, right? And that's the whole thing about society today, is it not?
Now, what can you do? You get psychic powers?
No, not really. I'm sensitive. So
what does that mean?
My nervous system doesn't stop working where my skin ends. At times, under the right circumstances, I'm able to feel, literally, what is going on inside people, places, and things. So I'm not clairvoyant. I don't see stuff that is beyond the normal human range of vision. Nor am I clairaudient, which means I don't get messages from your deceased relatives or angels or whoever might be on the other side of the veil.
Do you think that's possible?
Most definitely.
But it's just not something you can do.
Not at this stage of my evolution, no.
But you might learn to be able to do it. Okay,
possibly.
All right. Can you do exorcisms?
I've participated in about 35 over the last couple of years. My teacher is vastly more experienced than I am, and she got me involved a couple of years back. My teacher's in her 70s now, and although she's in good shape, she's getting on.
Yeah.
And I wondered for a long time, who was she going to kind of hand this over to? And then out of the blue, I got a call a couple of years ago. She said upstairs, as she refers to whatever upstairs is, said to her she needed to give me a call and ask me if I wanted to get involved.
Right.
So, of course, I said yes and rocked up, and then things got, like, really crazy.
How does it work at an exorcism? What actually happens? I've never been at one. Is there a public gallery where you can stand up and view?
You're an idiot.
Are we allowed to attend?
Can I
sell tickets to my friends?
I'm the crazy one your mother warned you about, so don't worry, you're in good company.
So what happens?
Well, from my limited experience, there are different methods that are used in terms of the removal of squatters or possessing entities, whatever you want to call them.
What are these things? I mean, is it just bad energy? Are these demons?
There are different perspectives on what these things may or may not be. I can't see them. I don't hear them. But I can feel but I can feel their attachment and their discordant energy inside people I come into contact with. So my teacher has a specific method that she uses, which is not aligned with the traditional Roman Catholic swing the incense and bring the cross and recite the Latin stuff. She's very much a hands-on, feed energy into the person and literally squeeze whatever this thing is down and move it out.
If I was possessed, would I know?
Not necessarily.
Is she? Come on, I mean, tell. We've been waiting for years. We've been waiting for years to find out. Is Mabale possessed? I mean, you can. I'm pretty much. I'm 70% convinced she is.
By Rihanna.
No, seriously, is she? I mean, is there anyone in this place that you can sense any kind of possession in?
Right now, I'm in safe mode, so my shields are up, and I am not in the state of mind where I will look to make contact.
Well, that's no fun. Bring them down and tell us who's got demons in them. Flax asked me earlier this morning. He says he comes in at 4:30 in the morning or whatever, and he sometimes switches on the lights and all the rest, and he sees... You want to explain it? You want to describe this thing?
So, Mark, I'm first person at the office here. So I walk up the stairs. All the lights are off. Yeah. And from, like, that window where you walk in, I can see Gareth's chair. And it, I swear to God, I can see a face and shoulders sitting in that chair every day.
Well, then you are certainly more sensitive visually than I am, but you have a talent or an ability that many people have under the right conditions, under the right lighting conditions, when you're in the right mental and emotional state. Sometimes people are able to tap into stuff that's otherwise not there. So I would say that there's every probability that you are seeing a non-physical entity. And I'm going to tell you guys up front, when I came in the door this morning, I got a very, very sharp sensation in the region of my solar plexus, which tells me that there's high probability that there's something here. Okay. Wow. So it may be an energetic signature that's been left by the previous tenant.
Good or bad?
Gareth, there's no good or bad at the higher levels. You know what I mean? The whole duality thing, the whole yin and yang thing is here for a reason. It's a learning tool that we as humans use. But in the bigger scheme of things, there's no good or bad. There's no right or wrong. Everything just is.
Well, Theo's about to shit his pants, so do you want to explain what you think this energy means? What this sharp
Mark,
solar plexus thing that you
Mark,
felt
can
was?
We figure out where this energy is? Is it in a particular corner? Is it in a particular room, a corridor?
Immediately, I got a general indication. What I would need to do, if you guys wanted to do the exercise, is bring my dowsing rods and literally walk the entire office space and look for the particular point from which this energy emanates.
Well, it's time for me to reveal that there's a body under the floor here. since we started, it's a body of one of my enemies. I decided to use it as an offering to the devil so that we could win.
There we go.
So, why do energies get left behind? I mean, why don't they just go?
Well, energy is all there is. Matter is just energy that's slowed down to a much more lazy vibrational frequency. Nothing is really real. Nothing is really solid. It's just atoms in vibration. Everything you think is real is actually 99% space if you look at an atom.
Yeah.
The distance between the nucleus and the electron cloud, if the nucleus was the size of a golf ball, the electron cloud would be moving around it at very, very high speed, about the distance of a rugby field away. So whatever you perceive as being solid is actually not. It's just your sensory mechanism that enables you to perceive things.
Is that why you metaphysicians, and I think it's fair to call you that, you believe that you could actually pass two people through each other, effectively, if you lined everything up right?
I suppose so. That theory is interesting. I haven't given it much thought, but there are entities and energies that exist in different dimensional space-time that are right here now, and they may not be able to see us, and we can't see them, but everything is perfect.
So what is metaphysics to you? I mean, is it it's not a religion. It's a way you make sense of the world, right?
Yeah, I don't really have a belief system. my only belief system is that it keeps evolving as new experiences come my way, and I accommodate them and then either take them in as being, okay, that's cool, or reject them as being, no, that's rubbish.
And do you do that on the basis of evidence, or do you do that on the basis of feeling?
On the basis of experience, direct experience. You can, you know, there's a belief and then there's a knowing. A belief is something that you've accommodated and you've taken into your life experience. And a knowing is something that you have direct experience with. So I know that if I jump off the top of your building, I am going to hurt myself because I've fallen before. Right. Fortunately, not from very high. So
with metaphysics, I mean, how did you come into contact with this, and who taught you, and how did it start to make sense to you, or how did you take it in?
It kind of happened, well, let's loosely say by chance. I don't think anything happens by chance, but I was put into contact with a lady through work, who I sorted out some problems that she'd had for a long time, and she was very grateful, and she turned out to be somebody who was a Reiki master and did past life regressions. And she said, "Do you want to come and have a session for free?" And I said, "Okay, cool." So we did a past life regression, and it was at that point in my early 30s that life truly began to take on a different shape for me.
Before then, you worked at insurance companies and all kinds of really ordinary, mundane. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but
not at all.
It's totally different to being a metaphysician.
Completely.
It's fascinating to me, and I think that there's room for all of this to be accommodated. I don't know that I'm the kind of person who prefers evidence to feeling and knowing.
Yeah.
And I don't ever assume that I know something. Even when it's proven to me, I like to still remain skeptical about stuff.
Absolutely.
Do you buy it all, or do you still have some lines that you draw and you say, no, actually, you know, it's impossible for us to communicate with the dead, for example, or it's impossible for us to live forever? Are there any lines for you?
Yeah, I think there need to be lines. Otherwise, how do you operate in society as a relatively normal person? But in terms of experiences, it's the old thing, you know, once the elastic band is, or the mind has been stretched, it never really goes back to the way it was previously.
Sort of like a vagina.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I knew that would get a rise out of you. That's all.
Lovely.
Now, what can you do here? You said that you can do exorcisms, or you're just getting into that now. Do you do treatment? Some people, do you kind of give people readings? How does it work? What do you sit there and do?
Well, let's start with the first bit. I have sat in and attended and been hands-on in 35 plus exorcisms with a very respected teacher. I don't by any means believe that I'm qualified to go out there into the world and start zapping demons and goodness knows what else they are and sending them wherever they need to be.
If you can, we got a job for you. Ghostbusters.
Exactly. Have they all always been successful? Are there times where an exorcism fails and you are not able to get rid of whatever is possessing the person involved?
Not from the direct experience I have. I know that there have been many attempts at removal of entities and energies that have not been successful, and it's either because they're too damn stubborn, or the person who's doing it doesn't have the level of ability to remove them. So I don't believe that I'm capable of walking in anywhere and sorting anything out, no. But I'm more than prepared to investigate. And if I believe that I have the capacity to assist, I will. If not, I'll refer on.
What can you see in an exorcism? Is there anything to be seen? What?
The response of the person who has the unwanted resident is interesting, to say the least. I mean, you've got complete changes of not facial structure but expression, eyes changed. I've personally witnessed pupils as vertical slits.
Really?
As opposed to,
oh my God,
to circular. Yeah, that's like really freaky when you see it for the first time. But everything from increased physical strength to swearing, spitting, screaming, chanting, mewling, the most terrible sounds.
But that's what my body manages to do every morning, so I really am convinced that she's possessed. You mean all of this happens and you can tell that this is a real thing that this person is experiencing? It's not put on.
There have been instances, and in fact I've attended two investigations recently where people were supposedly possessed, and one had been attended to by a Christian priest previously, and there'd been prayers done and the whole nine yards. But the guy wasn't a possession. He was a young guy who'd done too many drugs and had done too much stuff, and he was a little bit psychotic, and his behavior had led other people to believe that there was something controlling him, but I checked it out, and he wasn't. And after we had a decent discussion, and I followed up, life has turned around, and he's now taking responsibility for his actions. So I think there are a lot of people out there that will look to blame the unseen, unknown, unprovable for their own bad behavior and hope that nobody finds out.
Well, I mean, I've heard of people who their body temperature goes sky high. They start to. You said they get very, very strong.
Almost like an adrenaline rush. But yeah. I'm not what I used to be 20 years ago physically, but I'm still relatively strong. And I've had my arms around a 65-year-old, 50-kilogram Indian woman, and 4 hours later, it felt like I'd done 3 hours at the gym, and I literally couldn't walk for 3 days afterwards because my body was so sore trying to hold on to her.
See, has freaked out completely. Did you like the vertical slits in the eyes?
Okay. You can have, like, the gallery and you can watch along. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Any photographs of this stuff?
No, not that I've been able to take. I'm sure that there's stuff on the internet if you believe everything you see. Most of it will be rubbish. So, yeah, I'm skeptical as well, Gareth. You know, you're not talking to some...
What do you do to... Well, I mean, look, I mean, there are different varieties of skepticism and all the rest of it, but what do you do with this bad spirit? Do you just get it out and then it just goes away?
No, not at all. That's the wrong thing to do.
Because then you leave it for the next person to be...
Exactly right. Yeah, that's the problem with traditional exorcisms is the removed entities are not sent on their way safely.
Well, that sounds to me, I mean, like something I'd really want to see.
Maybe we can arrange that.
I want to see an exorcism, don't you, Mubs?
Well, okay. So then during the exorcism, you get rid of the whatever that entity is. Where then does that entity go?
Yeah,
and
how do you
know that it's not going to now enter into you, or, you know, where does it go?
Firstly, before entering into anything of this nature,
you have to open your legs.
You've got
to
make sure that you're incorrigible.
Sorry.
You've got to prep yourself. So it's important to do the prep, to do the protection work first. So all the right prep is put in place. You know, victory loves preparation. So if you don't cover your ass, per se, then there's every probability that you are going to wind up getting stuck with someone else's stuff, which, thank you, I don't want. So light shields are put up, and the individual who's being worked on is surrounded by a bubble of light, and measures are taken in advance so that when that entity or energy is removed, it is literally placed inside a shield of light and taken away to wherever it needs to go. And the option is often given to those entities that either they sort themselves out and realign themselves, or they will be destroyed.
Mark, is it true that you can see the demon in a reflection in a mirror?
I have no idea. Never had that experience.
Okay. Wow, this is pretty amazing. What other strange things have you seen and experienced around Johannesburg and with people that you've either treated or been in the company of, and things that aren't necessarily easy to explain by normal language or science have happened?
Gareth, the thing that interests me the most probably is people often have physiological ailments and complaints that, if they're not bacterial or viral infections, can be created by a block in the flow of life force energy, or qi, as the Chinese call it. So things like acupuncture and qigong help to move energy. But often if a person has experienced trauma, particularly over a period of time, they will manifest a physical symptom in response to a mental stroke, emotional issue that underlies
it. Well, I mean, the psychologists will tell you, and a lot of doctors will agree, that there are ways that your brain can make you sick.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a totally physiological thing.
Yeah, and the same as the placebo effect. You can give somebody a tablet and tell them it'll make them better, and it will.
And they'll feel better.
Yeah.
But what have you seen that you were really terrified by, or that struck you as very strange? like actually witnessed?
Nothing terrifies me anymore. I've stepped off that cliff a long time ago. I don't have any fear left in me.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing.
So if a monster had to come out of somebody in one of these exorcisms?
Then I'll deal with it.
How?
I can't reveal that on radio.
No, 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 but you have to tell me what you do. I mean, what do you chant? Do you have crystals? Do you pick up a cross? Do you use silver bullets?
No.
What do you do?
None of those.
Because all that's bullshit. What do you do with a monster?
No, I think that's all the movies.
Well, you better help us, Mark. I mean, what if some monster attacks Flax here one morning? We need to know what to do.
The monsters are created by our own minds. I'm not a believer in monsters. But then again, Monsters, Inc., you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is the symbolism of the monsters coming through from their dimension, through the doors, mm-hmm. and with their little bottles and freaking out the kids and making mm-hmm. them scream and then capping those screams and taking them back to use them as fuel. There is a theory that if you've ever looked at David Icke stuff, there is an interesting theory that there are other dimensional entities that operate in a space-time region that exists between dimensions that has no energy source of its own, and they run on the fuel of fear. It's interesting that the movies often portray stuff that's kind of going on that we might not be aware of.
The children's screams are the fuel.
Yes.
Haven't you watched
the movie?
No, I've never seen Monsters.
Dude, watch Monsters, Inc., eh?
Everybody else has watched this.
Yes.
Okay.
That is a definite portrayal, or a possible portrayal of the way things are, because there may well be other entities that are running things on this planet and control the controllers of the corporations that run the politicians. And you know, you just go follow the money trail, but the guys who are running this whole thing may actually not be physical at all. They may be other dimensional entities who feed off the energy of fear. We don't know everything because it's beyond our perception. So there's all these possibilities that exist.
Now, let's get away from exorcism. You also do a bit of massaging.
I enjoy that sort of work.
Yeah? So go on, tell me what else.
Deep tissue massage. I do. What started off as a hands-on practice 20 years ago has become more of a head game than a bench game. So more often than not, I sit in consultation with people now and offer them insight and options and try and give them a bit of a map.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are stuck. They have no idea where they are, who they are, where they're going. And often there are things that I'm able to assist with in terms of giving them a game plan.
Right.
So that's grown. So
it's a sort of a general kind of spiritual practice, if you call it that. Now, Flax tells me that you believe in aliens.
I have personally witnessed a flyby of two crafts, yes.
What kind of crafts? Where did this happen? Give me the detail.
December 2013.
Okay.
Standing on my balcony, having a cigarette.
Yes. Was it a normal cigarette or was it weed cigarette?
No,
that would explain
I hadn't had weed that day. Mm. So it was nicotine-based.
Okay, fair enough. Right. Cool.
And across from the left-hand side into my field of view came two very, very bright green lights at distance, and they were flying parallel to each other. And as they moved across, they shot away from each other at 90-degree angles at such incredible speed that there's no technology that I'm aware of currently available on this planet that could cause propulsion at that rate. And I wasn't freaked out. I'm an X-Files kind of guy to begin with, so it was like, whoa, that's really cool. And I asked my teacher about this, and she said to me, those are scout ships. Their job is to come into the Earth's atmosphere and measure atmospherics and electrical discharges.
Flax,
this
is your stuff, right?
I believe there's aliens out there. They sort of like, you get humans and you get aliens. There's just different sort of breeds of people out there.
Creatures.
Yeah, creatures. It's just another race.
Do you have any idea of what these creatures might be, Mark?
I would imagine that there are many different species that exist on many different planets in many different sectors of this galaxy and others. I mean, there's billions and billions of galaxies. So the probability of intelligent life and life that could be far more advanced in terms of civilization and technology than us is a possibility. In fact, a probability.
Mm.
So I've never met one face-to-face that I'm aware of, but I'm sure that they walk among us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always put off of these stories by the way they keep on probing cars, you know? They keep on putting things up cars' backsides, which I will never... What secrets of the universe are hidden in a car's backside? If you can travel across space and time, what are you going to discover by putting a probe up a human or a car's backside, right?
Who knows?
It's always these hick sort of... middle of Kansas and a farmer and, well, there's a crop circle down there and wasn't there last night and I think it must be alien.
But don't forget, Kansas is the Wizard of Oz territory. Yeah. So
well,
who knows, eh?
There we go. So they're probably all high.
Dorothy
but
knocked her heels
do you
together.
Get a lot of people like, you know, and I don't mean to, you seem to me to be a really nice guy and you seem to have a genuine belief in all this stuff and you seem to me to be one of those people who practices what you preach.
Oh, I do
but
the walk the talk.
Yeah, sure, but I'm a sincere skeptic. I don't buy any of it. And I wonder if you have to deal with people like me often, what your response to them is, because you could ignore us. But I think you almost want to engage because there might be some kind of truth to be discovered by either side, right?
Yeah, people are entirely entitled to their own opinions.
Yeah, but that doesn't help. But what do you say when someone says to you, oh, you're a complete... raving, lunatic, nutcase.
I say, well, welcome to the planet. Yeah. We're all going to live here in harmony. You know? Nobody's perfect. And
do you have family and friends who you've kind of lost contact with because they think you're too weird?
It happened in the initial stages where people like really looked at me sideways and thought, no, this guy's he's done his toast. Yeah. But I kind of recovered. And was able to pull myself back towards myself. And no, I don't think that anyone that I knew previously or prior to my offshoot into the metaphysical side of things has kind of rejected me.
Well, let's explain metaphysics then. I can tell Sia's really interested in this stuff and anybody else who wants to know. Metaphysics is what? I mean, where do we begin with metaphysics?
Anything that exists... in the vibrational frequencies that are not easily perceived by our five available senses. And those are very limited. So, to me, metaphysics is the study of energy.
It's everything from that feeling that you get when you think someone's watching you.
Yeah.
Which is, there's no sensory way you can be aware of that.
No.
From that, at a minimum, to the ability to manifest things and actually create stuff.
Absolutely. At the level of Avatar, who knows? You know, Jesus was supposed to have been able to walk on water and convert water into wine and multiply fish and bread and stuff.
Sure.
And I believe that an individual who is at a level of mastery that he quite possibly could been at, could have been at, couldn't do that.
Where do you learn such skills? Where did you meet your teacher?
Doesn't it always happen by random?
Well, yeah, but how did you know? Because I meet lots of people. Mabale meets lots of people. How do you know when someone has something special? Do they find you? Do you find them? Do you just find each other? How does it happen?
I think the universe kind of puts you together. It's the old thing that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And if you are destined to walk that path, then I do believe that things are engineered at some level, that you'll bump into each other and things will start to happen.
Barry wants to know, don't you think you could make a killing practicing in the southern USA rather than here? I mean, is there a lot of business for you in South Africa?
Why on earth would I want to go to the southern USA?
I mean, are you not competing with Sangomas and things here?
No, there's no competition here.
You get along with Sangomas?
I'm not in competition with anybody, absolutely.
Sangomas, you guys can speak the same language?
Very much so. They have their traditions and they operate in their ways and we can all learn from each other. We can all share with each other. No.
Do you get along with the Scientologists?
Haven't had much exposure to them.
The Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
The Reiki guys, they're okay.
The Reiki guys are okay. Yeah. Look, religion is just a science for living, and everyone's entitled to whatever they want to practice.
Sure.
And I'm not in conflict with that, and I'm certainly not looking to impose my beliefs on anybody else or try and convert them to anything. Whatever works for them works
Crystal
for them.
Crystal healers, bullshitters, right? Crystals?
Powerful.
Really? Tell me how.
Quartz crystals vibrate at 786 hertz. That's 1,000 cycles per second. They vibrate at very high frequency. They can be programmed. In fact, crystals are used for radio transmission or have been for many, many years.
Okay.
They are intelligent. They grow. And they respond to the environment. And they definitely do aid in the transmission and reception of energy.
So you practice crystal healing as well?
I have some crystals. I don't necessarily use them all the time. But yeah, when it's appropriate.
Are they lying around your house? And
yeah.
Okay, all right. No, you see, you're teaching me things here too.
Okay.
And I do want to learn from this. I don't want this to just be, yo, you believe that, I believe this, so let's not talk to each other. Avishka wants to know, does that bone-breaking stuff really happen in an exorcism?
I've never witnessed it, so I can't say for sure. I don't know.
Oh.
A lot of people have seen the old Exorcist movie with the spinning around the head and the green projectile vomit and the levitation. Have I witnessed that? No.
Ben's favorite scene in any movie.
Yeah, a turning head.
It's great, right? And when she walks down the stairs backwards.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff out there that is sensationalist. And if you ask me, have you seen that? No. Do you believe it? Well, not really. I'd have to see it first.
When you guys practice an exorcism, are there any things you need to do to protect yourselves and to protect the area that you're in? And what do you do?
It's very specific. You need to prepare the space that you'll be working in. You need to prepare yourself. So it's a whole...
So what do you do? Put down plastic sheeting?
It's ritualistic.
Okay.
So you would set the intention beforehand. And as I at least said, I put up my shield. So I do the Star Wars thing. I make sure that my invisible energetic shields are on full alert. So that I am not going to be, let's loosely use the term, attacked by whatever is in the person or comes out of them.
Why do some people get possessed and others don't? Or is it just a chance thing? What would be the difference
or
between
are they simpletons?
Ben and I, if he got possessed and I didn't? What?
That's a good point.
It can happen through sexual contact.
Oh, an
STD. If you have intimacy with a person who has a possessing entity, there's every possibility, in fact, very high probability that can jump, because when you are in that state, all your protection is down and you're engaging on a very, very primal level energetically. According to my teacher, it can happen as a result of trauma, emotional, physical, mental, sexual. It can happen as a result of medication. So anesthetics, antidepressants.
Lowers your guard.
Lowers your guard, dumbs you down, and then can open you to those who want to take occupation. And they're not necessarily all evil. They may just crave the physical experience of humanness that they can't tap into on their fourth dimensional level or wherever they are.
What's the most powerful kind of entity you've encountered?
Reptilian.
As in David Icke, reptilian?
Yeah.
Okay, so David Icke, Mubs, let's fill you in here. David Icke's a guy who wrote these books about how the most powerful people in the world are actually reptilians. I'm paraphrasing.
It's possible.
Or they could be related to reptilians.
Yeah, with the whole bloodline, yeah.
And that these reptilians are aliens who have been here for many thousands of years, and secretly they control quite a lot of what goes on Earth.
Everything. Quite a lot.
Okay, so they control everything. So, you've encountered a reptilian?
More than once.
Tell us what happens. Tell us what you see, hear, feel.
Remember, I don't see or hear any differently from you or anybody else, so I rely on feeling. Mm-hmm. And I've had my hands on a couple of people who have reptilian entities either attached to or inside them. And they are, in my frame of experience, in my frame of reference, the most difficult to extract. Imps and lower level demonic stuff is child's play in comparison to a big, tough reptilian that's got its claws into somebody. They're belligerent, they're aggressive. They're just nasty, and they're tough.
Is Donald Trump a reptilian?
I have no idea.
Does he have the makings of one?
Do you have to be in proximity to people to be able to figure out if they are, you know, possessed by a reptilian? Do you have to be close to them physically?
It helps.
It helps.
It is possible
but
to do remotely.
But can you tell almost immediately?
Yeah.
Even when your guard is up?
Yeah, I get a very good indication.
Really?
Yeah. You can see it in the eyes. You can feel the energy.
I wish I could tell this. This would be interesting. I'd immediately know who not to waste time in a meeting with if I could discover someone was a reptilian. What kind of effect does being possessed by a reptilian have on someone?
Massive behavioral changes, primarily. Their agenda is to create chaos. So people, we've got all these sayings in the English language. I don't know what came over him. I don't know what got into him. And that's completely out of character. Now, why? Why? Why would you use that kind of statement? Because something is in control. Not the actual owner of that physical vessel. It can be an entity that's either attached or is now occupying and is running them. Make them behave very unpleasantly. Causes... ruptures in their lives and conflict in their relationships and just generally creates chaos because they feed off the energy of fear. That's their food.
What is it, reptilian mobs?
No. Well, okay. I could be. You said something interesting right at the beginning. You said people don't understand certain behaviors and so they'll label them as, you know, ADD,
bipolar,
or
psychotic, blah,
okay,
blah.
So
yeah.
Now my late sister was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and you know, scientists will say, oh well, you know, her chemical levels were out of balance. What would you say then, if scientists will label it as bipolar disorder, what would you call it if not bipolar disorder?
Every case needs to be assessed individually. It's very unreasonable and a bit silly to generalize, so it would need to be checked out on a one-on-one basis. But my feeling is that a lot of people who have been diagnosed by the mental health fraternity and medicated up to the eyeballs, there actually might be other stuff going on that doesn't fall within the boxes and the labels that we put on stuff.
I got an interesting message here from Bonnie, who called us just now. She said, ask Mark about his abilities to screen the human body. This is interesting. So when you screen someone, you could pick up illness, and you could pick up the potential for illness?
Yeah, both.
Tell me about that.
Everything exists in vibrational harmony.
Okay.
So a pancreas or a kidney, or a liver, or a spine, has its specific energy signature and its specific vibrational pattern. So I'm sensitive to frequency, and if I'm in contact with somebody, either telephonically or face-to-face, who has something inside them that is out of balance, I will feel the imbalance. So if a pancreas is vibrating out of kilter, I would get a signature in my body, and I feel inside me what's going on inside them, and I will then ask questions to determine, is there any history of diabetes in their family? Mm-hmm. Have they had themselves screened? Have they had the fasting glucose tests done? And I would then aim them at a medical practitioner or a specialist for further investigation.
So you would almost discover this. You're almost like you're the canary in the mine, and you go
kind of an early warning
here.
System often, and, okay. and it can come
cancer,
in
cancer. You can pick up.
Yeah, cancer has a very specific feeling. It feels like a really, really heavy, hard, solid block of concrete in the region of the tumor, and I feel that in my body. What's interesting is I feel emotion, too. So anger is a very specific emotion. Anger feels like a very sharp, stabbing pain in the liver, because the liver is the organ that processes the frequency of anger. Now, depression is a sensation of pressure in the upper chest. So it feels like someone's sitting on my chest. So if I'm in the company of someone who's experiencing the energy of depression, then I will feel a lot of pressure in the upper chest. If I'm with somebody who's lost someone or a pet and is experiencing grief, I'll get a very sharp pain right in the center of the chest in the region of the heart. And over the time that I've been doing this, I've learned to try and kind of discern what is physiological and what is a physical complaint and what is an emotional issue as well. So it's to try and balance the whole thing out. It takes a bit of time.
I want to put someone on quickly, and they want to talk to you, and it always calls, and I'm sure you get people asking you for free advice all the time.
Yeah,
right?
That's okay.
Go to Barry. Good morning, Barry. You want to talk to Mark?
Yes, Mark. Can you tell me? Good morning.
Morning, Barry.
Can you tell me what's wrong with me? You said you can pick up energy over the telephone even?
Yeah, I've done this kind of stuff on radio before, but what often happens is I've got three people in the studio with me as well that are all putting out energy signatures. So it's a little difficult to get it spot on when I'm around other people. Ideally, it would need to be on a one-on-one basis, so either telephonic or face-to-face. And I'm willing to be wrong, as always. I'm far from perfect, and I don't expect to be right all the time. I would need to spend some more time with you and to effectively get into the mental emotional state within myself to allow me to...
Are you picking up anything from Barry now, though?
No, not yet. I'm shields up at the moment. I walk around...
Is that because there's just too much information and you'll go crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, it's initially when I started doing this a few years back, I literally could not go to shopping malls or stand in a queue at Pick and Pay without being overwhelmed by the amount of information. So Barry, if you want to pursue this and you'd like to call me, you're welcome to get my number from the station if you'd like.
All right. There we go.
What do you believe happens to us when we die? Because you know, people have different beliefs on that.
I don't believe that the death is the death that a lot of us consider it to be. I think we live forever. We are spiritual beings inhabiting physical vessels, and we come here for a time. And when our expiry date on our packaging comes due, then we leave. We drop the body and we leave. So, to me, this is the temporary set of clothes that I'm wearing this life to have these experiences on this plane of existence. Mm. I live forever. I'm immortal, and so are you, and so is everybody else.
Flax, you wanted to ask something quickly before we wrap it up?
I wanted to ask, because today we spoke about the ghost in studio. What happens if now we've given it life and tomorrow it tries to make contact or attack me or something? Is there anything I do?
No, this is not poltergeist energy. Believe me, if this was poltergeist, you'd know about it. But there'd be stuff flying around here.
Okay, so I'm safe.
Yeah, you're pretty safe.
Maybe you want to talk to it tomorrow and ask it why it's hanging around.
No, you guys are welcome to. I'm good.
You're just going to stay over there. All right. All right. Thank you very much, Mark. Mark Cook, what a pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure. Nice to meet you.
And thanks for coming in, man. I think that there's plenty of people who are really interested in this stuff, who really want to find out more, and they can always get hold of you. You have a website or something?
No, but no? I'm happy to leave my email address with Mike, and then people can find it.
Very good. We'll put it up on the site as well if you need it. That's Mark Cook. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Gareth.
Nice to meet you. And you'll tell me if you see that Ben is a reptilian on the way out, please. For example, we need to know these kinds of things. Exactly.
Sorry?
What was that? Was that your forked tongue making its way out of your mouth? Careful, Ben. It could be very dangerous. What's that, Mark?
White man speak with forked tongue.
White man speak with forked tongue. Huh. There we go. So there we go, Ben. You are, after all, a reptilian.
Oh, well, you're going to find it anyway.
Rumbled you. CliffCentral.com.